Blog Talk Radio.
Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And I am so excited that you joined with us tonight. I am Sandy Rogers, and I get to be your hostess for this evening. And, you know, Tuesdays are like my Christmas. I have 52 Christmases a year because we have such an array of outstanding talents that come as our guests each week to share from their storehouse of knowledge. And, man, I just feel so privileged and honored by these individuals that are willing to share their gifts with us here at Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So thank you for being with us and welcome, everybody. You know, we get started in a type of a sober place. We stop and we give thanks and acknowledgement to our ancestors. And so our ancestors are there for us all the time. And all we need do is to call upon the energy of the ancestors. And so we do that, especially on Tuesday nights, because we normally discuss topics and subjects that are not ordinarily talked about in an open environment, you know, like in an open forum. And so we're grateful, eternally grateful that our ancestors stand with us and that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for the strength that we need to do the work that we are doing here. So ancestors, thank you, thank you. We love you. And I actually found out that we have a new ancestor that was recently added to the ranks and has his wings, and a very good friend of mine from the financial world, Madhu Gandhi, has made his transition, and he is, like I said, now one of our ancestors. So, again, we give thanks to our ancestors. And, ancestors, we love you, we appreciate you, and we honor and respect you. Ashe, ashe. Oh, man, I tell you, this thing called life is just so incredible. It's amazing. And a lot of times, you know, we think that we have it figured out, like it's supposed to go one way, and, you know, that's the only way that it's going to go. And sometimes we can get thrown off a little bit because we're not geared up, or we don't always welcome that change. And so I've learned here within the last couple of weeks that we have got to stay flexible so that we don't break and that we just bend with life circumstances. All right, then, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. And so tonight's show is called Living to Be Audacious. I just like how that sounds, audacious. And our special guest tonight is Rochelle Marie Lawson. And I'm going to just give you a couple of her titles, and I'm going to ask her to come on and tell you exactly how she would like for you to know her. But, you know, I want to make sure that audience that you know, you're invited to join in the discussion with us. And we attempt to make sure that every comment is heard and all voices are allowed to speak, so that, everybody has can be participatory in this dialogue. So it's not just, you know, a one way. If you have questions, comments, you want to thank Rochelle for something that she said, you have an uncertainty about how she explained it, just feel free to ask, right? So our call-in number here is 516-531-9819, and you will simply push the 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. There's only one little caveat to that, and that is I normally will leave your phone open, and the mics are extremely sensitive on the show. So if you're not speaking once I've opened up your phone, just mute your phone until you are ready to speak on air with us, because a lot of people go back and listen to rebroadcasts because they're, you know, they don't stay awake, or they're at work, or they don't have an opportunity to listen to the live broadcast. So we want to make sure that they get quality, high quality playback on the broadcast, and you're always welcome to go on and listen to any of the shows that we've had, that we've aired, and that you can find at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers, and all the shows for the last 5 years, they're all listed there, and you can go back and pick your favorites and listen. And so thank you for being with us again. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So we're going to take a quick music break, and we're going to come back, and I am going to introduce our wonderful, wonderful, exciting guest tonight, Miss Rochelle Marie Lawson, and let her go forward with explaining to us what she means by living to be audacious. All right, we're going to be right back in a couple of minutes after the music break.
Trust and believe.
All right, y'all know that's Anthony A.K. King. That's my nephew singing Getting It On. He talks about that changing, you know, and things always changing. So yesterday is gone. Can't look back. You got to keep going straight ahead. So you can support him at www.anthonyakking.com and purchase his music. So welcome back, everyone, to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And once again, you're welcome to call and be live on air with us at 516-531-9819. And just press 1. That'll signal me that you want to talk live on air with us. And so it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. And in that theme, our special speaker tonight, Ms. Rochelle Marie Lawson, is going to talk to us about living to be audacious. She is a registered nurse. She's a health practitioner. She is an international speaker and an author, and her accolades just go on and on. She has taken of her time to be with us tonight, to share with us, and to bless us with her words of wisdom. And so it is with the highest regard of honor that I welcome Ms. Lawson, Nurse Lawson, to our show. Are you there with us tonight?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
Well, I can. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So tell the audience how you would like for them to know you.
Well, I have, like you said, several titles. I'm known as Rochelle Marie Lawson, the Queen of Feeling Fabulous. But I'm also, I'm also a woman-owned business person. I'm a health and wellness expert. I'm a registered nurse. I'm a mom. Rochelle Marie is fine, or the Queen of Feeling Fabulous. That's how I roll. I'm all those things. Right? It just depends on the circumstances. But for the most part, I'm the Queen of Feeling Fabulous.
I love that. Well, Queen.
Yes,
I am so elated that you have the time to spend with us tonight. And I would like to know, how do you I've seen you all over the globe. You are just worldwide in the things that you do and the contributions that you make. And so are there any particular areas that you focus on? I know health and wellness, because of your extensive background and all of the areas that you've studied and mastered in. So is there any one particular field that you specialize in?
So what I do basically, or with regards to what my company is all about, is wellness, the pillars of wellness, wisdom, and wealth. And what I like to say is I help you to connect your wellness through your wisdom so you can have everlasting wealth. Now, wealth can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, but when I speak about wealth, I don't only speak about monetarily being wealthy or monetarily being in a comfortable position financially. I talk about your health and well-being, because your health and well-being is by far the greatest asset that we have. And if you're not healthy and well, you can't possibly enjoy that wealth monetarily to fulfill your dreams. So I mix the two and bring it all together, but what I do is help people to build and sustain that. And I've been doing that for quite a long time.
Right, and so you also you do workshops. You've written books on the subject, and do you do one-on-one counseling?
Yeah, I do. So I have written books, and I have a blog and other things that I do. I speak, I hold workshops, I do webinars, I do videos, I do all of that. But I also do one-on-one counseling or coaching, I should say. I hate to say coaching. One-on-one accelerating as well as group acceleration. And I really enjoy doing that kind of stuff. I do retreats as well. So as a matter of fact, we're in the process of planning a women's summit. We're going to do a six-city women's summit throughout the nation. And it's going to be about us women becoming and stepping into being unstoppable. Actually, as we you mentioned in the beginning, stepping into being audacious, right? And also supporting women, veterans, as well as military wives. So it's going to be a fun summit and a fun tour. And within that, it's going to be helping people to understand how they can build and sustain their wellness, wisdom, and wealth, and step into the life of their dreams by being audacious and figuring out what their passion is and turning that into their purpose.
I like your target audience, military wives and veterans. Veterans themselves are almost a forgotten community of individuals, and they make the greatest sacrifice of all, you know, giving their life to serving our country. And so for you to focus on those two segments, that's very honorable because they are a forgotten segment. And, you know, they come back with a lot of different, most veterans, or some veterans, I should say, I'm going to say some veterans come back with some unresolved issues, and they're not addressed, you know, in society. So thank you for that work that you're doing there.
Right. Well, I want everyone to know, though, it really is a summit for all women. But because our women veterans and the military wives, or significant others for that matter, they don't really get the recognition. And I don't want to say recognition being, you know, arrogant with it, but when you see things on TV, they don't show women veterans. And women,
right.
There are a lot of women in the military, and they sacrifice just like the men. But we don't see their story. We don't get that part of what a military female has to go through. So when I say it's in support of them, of course I want them to come, and I want companies to sponsor these women to come because it's really inexpensive, but I'm also supporting women in general because it's women out there that are going to change the world. It's not going to be the men. And so it's time for us to just own that and become unstoppable with it.
Right, right. I know, I remember an eye-opening experience for me happened a few years ago, and my cousin, who lives in Los Angeles, had called me to tell me that he had met a homeless veteran that was a female, and he was just taken aback by that, and it actually shocked me, too, because, you know, when we think about homelessness or homeless people, one, we don't really consider veterans as being a part of that population, and definitely not a female. And so,
right.
You know, it's real. Yeah, it's real. And again, you know, they're almost like the invisible population out there. So you just touched my heart by including.
Oh,
thanks. Yeah, by saying that specifically. So now you, we can come back to the summit if you'd like. But so you do this five-step Be Audacious system in conquering fears. So I would imagine that you've identified fear as being the greatest obstacle to someone achieving their dreams and their goals.
Yes, most definitely. And when you think about it, we all know someone that is in a process of fear right now or have gone through fear, or even ourselves, we've gone through times where we've been afraid to do something. We've let fear stop us in our tracks from doing something that we really wanted to do. And over my 30 years as a successful woman-owned entrepreneur in Silicon Valley, I discovered that there are things that we can do to help us move through the fear. Now, there are situations where we absolutely need fear to kick in. If we feel our life is threatened, you know, the fight or flight type of thing, we absolutely need that. But we don't need it like we have it today, 24/7. And we don't need that to prevent us from doing the things that we really want to do. Because really, fear is just false evidence appearing real. It's not real. It's stuff that we've made up in our head. And until it really manifests, it does, that's when it becomes real. But it's stuff we made up in our head, either through lack of understanding, uncertainty, ignorance, or just not having the correct information to make a step forward. So we allow that to prevent us from moving forward, and it keeps us in fear. And when you're stuck in fear, there's no way you can achieve anything that you want to do because you're so afraid to take that step forward because you're afraid of the unknown.
Yeah, yeah. So, Rochelle, let me ask you a question. So there's a theory that says our television news reporting use fear as the main emotion as different events are being reported, so that our society is being more and more every day, throughout the day, conditioned in that emotion of fear, and it causes people to not respond in a thought-provoking manner because they're so negatively wound up because of all of the fear-based ways that the activities of the day are being portrayed on the news. How does that fit into this fear-based mentality that we seem to all be walking around with?
Well, fortunately, let me tell you, fortunately, there is a way to recover from it, and there is a cure to that, curing yourself of that. But yes, I do agree with you to the certain point that everything is based on fear. Even when you watch the commercials, there's fear in you into get you, oh, you better buy this because over here that might not be good or that might be harmful to you, right? They're fearing you into taking certain medications because they put these medications and advertise them all on TV, and they list all the negative stuff, and then they sell the medication as the latest and greatest thing, and then at the end they give you all the little blurbage that you can't understand about the side effects that are really harmful to the medication. But everything is based in fear. And I often wonder why can't things be turned around and be showed positively? Why can't we see positive things on the news? There's a lot of positive things that don't go on. But the way society operates, and because we are a capitalistic society, everything is based on how much dollars can be moved in a certain period of time. And the way you incite people to buy things is you make them afraid not to not buy that or not to not do that. And so the perception of all this negative energy around fear, sometimes people internalize that, and it inflates within them, and then it inflates already the fears that they might have with regards to doing something in their life. So everything is amplified because of this energy and the negative energy that fear has. Fear is a heavy, dark, negative energy. And so it's like trying to go through the dark, pitch black, and try to go in a straight line. You won't be able to do it without any out some type of light. And when you're able to release that and let the light in, so to speak, that's when you can take that baby step forward and walk through the fear. But until you can take that baby step forward, you got to let that light shine and show you the way.
And that's that one-on-one acceleration that you're doing with individuals, helping them to see their light?
Well, not necessarily, because okay. First of all, we get to the root cause of why they have the fear in the first place. We have to identify what it is, you know, what the fear is. Sometimes what people think the fear is something completely different emotional element that is actually causing the fear. So you gotta get to the root cause and figure out why do you have it. Until you get to the root cause of why you have it, then you can't do anything about it. It's like trying to treat a disease, and you don't know what it is or how you got it, but you're trying to treat it, and nothing's working. Until you get to the root cause, you can't discover the steps appropriate for you to help you to move through your fear to the next side.
So, how easy is that, or are people resistant to really digging in and learning more about themselves? Because that seemed like that would really take some deep introspection to find out, you know, what's really at the base of your fear.
True, very true. Now, let me make the disclaimer. I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist, anything like that. So I don't work in those realms. And if a person is having some type of phobic issue or they're being abused or something like that, you know, that's not something I'm talking about. I'm talking about
right.
the basic fear of people allowing, say, for instance, I'm going to give an example. Somebody's really good at making cupcakes, right? Really, really mm-hmm. good. Everybody tells them that they should have their own bakery. They, you know, they love doing it. They it's a joyful thing to them. If they don't make cupcakes, it's like, oh my gosh, that's what they love to bake. And if they don't do that, you know, they feel like there's a piece missing in their life, right? So everybody tells mm-hmm. them they should make a business of this, but because they're stuck in a job that they don't really like. But it helps to pay the bills, or it pays the bills. They can't even think about starting a business because the uncertainty comes in as to, well, how am I going to start a business? How am I going to pay my bills? I can't quit my job. You know, all the things behind why one shouldn't do that and take a chance on themselves begins to elevate. And it's different for every person. Some people, you know, a lot of stuff, and other people's is something a lot more simpler, but it's different for everybody. And then once that's discovered, it's like sometimes things are related back to something that happened when you were a kid, and you can like, well, why? When did you first feel this way, and why did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
the person starts thinking about it, and it's like, oh, you know, when I was 10 years old, you know, whatever, right? I was hiding in the
right,
closet,
right.
And you know, whatever. So what I'm saying is, this person wants to start this business, and she would love to do it. It's her passion. But because she's got these fears that she really quite is not sure if it's because of the money, or, you know, she doesn't want to be a failure, or what are her friends going to say, or, you know, all the naysayers, you know, all that kind of stuff. She doesn't really know what it is. She's stopping from her even discovering what it is that's holding her back to really stepping into something she really wants to do. Once she discovers, and I'm not saying that everybody's going to be successful with this particular situation, but say this gal mm-hmm. discovers that, wow, you know, it's really not the money, because I have a little bit of money saved up, and I can go and get a small business loan at a very low interest rate or no interest rate to help me get started or make it through the hard parts. And I can start, I can bake from home until I can get a little bit of more money and bake, you know, use my kitchen, have my kitchen redesigned, or use my kitchen at home to bake the cupcakes. Or I can take the money from the small business and get a spot and bake cupcakes in a former bakery and turn it into mine, whatever the case may be. There's always mm-hmm. solutions to things like that. But, you know, it's the little things, like I said, the uncertainty, the lack of self-confidence when oneself, because you start listening to the negative talk, the ignorance because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know until you don't
right.
figure out you don't know it, right? And
mm-hmm.
and then the incorrect information that is given to us. You know, people will tell you, girl, it's hard to start a business. It's not hard
right.
to start a business at all. It's hard to stay in business. Let me tell you, sometimes
exactly.
it's hard to stay in
yeah.
business, right? But as you go through and take these steps, I can't ever say that I've never had fear in the 30 years that I've had one business, in the last 11 years that I've had my second business. I can't say that I've never had fearful thoughts come into my mind. But what I can tell you is I've never let those fearful thoughts stop me, because I know that if I don't move forward, if I don't take that inch forward and utilize the five steps of conquering fear for myself, then I'm going to be super upset with myself, and I'll let something else come in front of me that, you know, might just be fearful, and I won't move forward. And I don't want to get stuck in that space. I want to always keep moving and massaging that muscle to strive forward and persevere. And because I know I have five steps that I can do whenever I get stuck, I don't get stuck. But I've been doing it for a long, long, long time. And I know exactly what my triggers are. And that's what they're called, really, triggers. What are the triggers that stop you from being fearful? When I was a kid, if I did something bad, I was afraid that I was going to get my butt whooped when I got home. You know, that was my fear then, right? You know what I'm saying? But as I've grown up, it's been other things. I feared speaking public. And then when I spoke in public, it was like, oh, I actually like it, you know. And then but I had to do it to conquer that fear. So it's all about moving forward and utilizing these five little simple steps that I use to help you to conquer fear. And actually, I call them audacious steps, because taking them requires you to move forward, and sometimes that's a big thing for people to do.
Yes. And you know, it's I find it more and more interesting as I share with people, listen to people is probably a better way to say that, how their insecurities did start, like at 4 and 5 years old, you know, like, well, you can't do that. What make you think you can do that? And people internalize that with everything that they do afterwards, you know, and it is coming to light. And so I'm glad and thankful that people are, you know, not just looking at the near past, you know, but going all the way back into childhood. And because a lot of those things were not said to harm a person, you know, sometimes they were just said in passing, but, you know, the little child misunderstood what was being said and internalized it in a different way. And then another thing that you were talking about was that fear of being in business. Well, you know, with some of these jobs that are out here, there should be a bigger fear that a person experience with regard to them than it would be to try and start your own business. I'm just being real about it, you know, like you would rather, you know, put your life in somebody else's hand versus taking your own. So,
you know, my philosophy with that too is, I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But I think I've been a business owner since my early 20s. So I've strived forward. But you never know when you're going to go to work these days, and you got, you know, they let you work all day and then call you in the office 30 minutes before it's time for you to go to tell you that your job is being discontinued, right? You never know if that's going to happen. And I see it happening with so many people, particularly people in their late 40s and 50s, and, you know, and they have a hobby and stuff, and I'm like, turn that hobby, turn that passion into a purpose and get going with it. But you never know what may happen. And so to go to a job that, particularly a job you don't like, and allow that job to make you miserable and cause other issues in your mind and in your body, you know, instead of taking that chance on starting a business, you know, I'm saying move forward, move through that fear, because here's the thing, you can always go back and get another job if things don't work out.
Right.
There's always plan A, B, and C. You can always, it might be a little demeaning, but a job is a job. If you need to make money, you got to do what you got to do. You kind of have to hustle and grind. And being a business owner is all about a hustle and grind. It really is. But you're in control of your own destiny. you know, there's a lot of things that people do to help them work through things when they get stuck. You know, I'm sure very large business owners do it, and, you know, the small mom and pop people do it. There's things you work through, and it comes up as fear, but there's always a solution.
Right, because there's nothing that's a certainty in life, and I, so that's the point that I see you making with, you know, with the work that you're doing. So can you tell us the five steps, or kind of give us a walkthrough of how you help a person to get to a place of recognizing and acknowledging their fears?
Yeah, so first of all, with the five steps to conquering fear, is the first thing you have to do is, I like people to get in connection with what goes on inside of you, what you feel inside, because what you feel inside is actually the truth of what's going on within you. And so I like people to think about, kind of take them back to a time, like think about a time when you were a kid and you, you something made you fearful, whether it was, you know, Halloween night, you know, the monsters, or you, like I said, my example, like if I did something I know I wasn't supposed to do, and one of the neighbors told my parents, and I knew when I got home I was going to get a spanking, you know, something like that, you know. Or another thing for me was bringing home a bad report card. Oh my goodness, I did. Oh, that. Or at misbehaving at somebody's house. Oh no.
Right.
So, you know, those types of things, right? So,
yep.
I take a person back and think about, like, think about something that made you fear, you know, you were afraid to do. You know, people have all kinds of different things. And then we say, like, well, what happened? Why? How did that make you feel inside? Think about how it made you feel inside. So, first of all, getting in touch with how that fear made you feel inside. Now, each time you have fear, it comes up as the same type of feeling. It just depends on how deep the fear is or how frightful the situation is. Okay, and so we start with the feel of the recognition of how it feels within you, and then we go into claiming what it is or pronouncing whatever it is. You know, I'm afraid of criticism, or I'm afraid that I'm going to go from being wealthy to poor, or I'm afraid that my relation, I'm going to lose my girlfriend, my wife, husband, spouse, whatever. You know, I'm afraid that my relationship is going to fail. I'm afraid to get old, or I'm afraid to die, or I'm afraid that I'm going to have illness, or this is going to cause physical pain that I'm not going to be able to bear with. Or I'm afraid my rights and stuff going to be taken away from me if I do this. And I don't want my rights to be taken away from me. So we identify what the fear is. So now you got how it feels inside you, how your fear feels inside you, and what the fear is. And then what you're going to do is you're going to vocalize it out loud, whether you vocalize it out loud to a spouse, whether you vocalize it out loud into your phone, whether you vocalize it out loud. What I like to tell people to do is to look in the mirror, look at the eyes that are looking back at them, and vocalize what that fear is that's keeping you from moving forward with whatever it is, okay? And then once you do that, the next thing you need to do, the next step is writing it down. But when you write it down, you're going to write the fear down instead of I'm afraid of blah, blah, blah. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my home if I start my business. Okay. You turn it around into a positive and you take out that I'm afraid. So instead of I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my home if I start a business, an example of positive of that is I'm going to buy a new home after I start my business.
I like that.
Okay. So then you take it from the negative thought to the positive thought. And then the last step is to know that it's kind of like you're in control of your mind. That's the only thing we have control of. So we need to know that our mind really, really wants us to be successful. And when I say mind and not brain, I mean mind, because the mind is the thing that controls our emotions and our thoughts that have the thoughts circulate through them and all of that kind of stuff. Our brain controls the automatic functions of our body, but it doesn't control our thoughts and what we think. Our mind does that, and then our mind sends these chemicals. I send the messages to the brain, and the brain releases the specific chemicals that we need to, whether it be in fight or flight or whatever we need to do, okay? So know that your brain and your mind really want the same thing, and they want you to be successful. They want you to move forward. So when you know that in the context that when your ego kicks in and all the negative thoughts that are holding you back begin to arise and you start to feel them within your body, the ego is just trying to protect you from that which you are already fearing, such as if you feel that you're not confident enough to speak on stage or to speak in front of an audience or to speak in front of your department or at a team meeting or whatever the case may be. Just know that your ego is just trying to protect you from being in a super fearful state when that happens, because it doesn't, quote unquote, wants you to fail, so to speak. It doesn't want the reality to come of whatever's causing that self-confidence, whether you're afraid that somebody's criticizing you, and because you think somebody's going to criticize what you do, how you say it, or how you present it, that's giving you a lack of confidence, and you're not really sure that you know the material that you need to present, something like that, okay? So those are the five steps of being audacious and conquering fear. And as simplex as they seem, sometimes it can be very difficult and people can get stuck in any one of the steps. They can feel the emotion, number one, with how fear makes them feel in their body, but they can't singularly get down to what it is that's causing their fear. Or it could be a multiple of things and they can't figure out what the primary thing is, okay? They're afraid to vocalize it because if you vocalize it, you make it real. And when you write it, you make it real, right? It becomes a real thing. Right now, that fear of whatever's holding you back is just like a balloon floating in the sky, an invisible balloon, I want to say. You can't see it, but when the balloon comes across some color or gets tainted from air pollution or whatever and you can see it, that's when you begin to pay attention to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then turning the negative, I'm afraid of, this is going to happen or that is going to happen or, you know, whatever, turning that into a positive statement releases that negative energy behind what you're afraid of just a little bit. And the more you say that and massage that and write that and look at that, the stronger it gets in your mind. And when that fear or that negative thought comes up in your mind, you'll be able to replace it with a positive thought. It's like working a muscle. You got to do it until it gets comfortable. Going to the gym, running, walking, whatever you do to work your muscles, over time they begin to adapt to it, and then the muscle becomes automatically adjusted to whatever exercise you're doing. So it's the same thing with the thoughts that we control or have floating through our mind, especially the negative ones. And then last thing, just knowing that even though your ego may kick in and try to hold you back and try to kick you to the curb, so to speak, know that it's just really trying to protect you. And when you can recognize that, it makes it all that much easier to move forward. Of course, you got to have common sense and all that kind of stuff too. But with regards to anything that's holding you back from living the life of your dreams that you really, really, really want to do, why would you stop? Why would you let something hold you back from doing something that you really want to do?
That's so cool. I just love how you said that and how you walked us through that whole process. And like you said, you know, it seems simple enough, but, you know, actually being honest with yourself can be kind of scary, you know, because we would like to think we're stronger or more powerful or different, you know, than than what we actually are, and admitting that,
right,
you know, something frightens us, not always welcome. But I love how, you know, you said, but you know, you gotta identify it in order to identify it or to, you know, to change it into something that you really desire, and that's really a positive way to address these. And so you doing the 60 women summit that you're planning to do. Is this going to be the primary focus of the work that you're doing, or will it be all encompassing of the other skills that you have as well?
Well, the wonderful thing about the summit is that it's going to have a variety of speakers, six total, including myself, that will be sharing wisdom, guidance behind wellness, wisdom, and wealth. But basically, and more, especially more specifically, with regards to helping women to find their passion, so they can turn that into their purpose.
Okay.
And so it's helping women to, you know, again, work through the processes of some of the fear we talked about this evening, helping them to step out and dare to be daring and bold and audacious, so that they can step into being that unstoppable woman that is just lying inside of them and ready to come out. And you can do that. Anyone can do it when they find out what they're passionate about. And they turn that into their purpose. Because once you do that, then you set up seven steps to having actually the things manifest from passion to profit.
Passion to profit, I like that too. Because you said find the passion and turn it into a purpose, and then you just add the profit part of it. And that's an important step that we don't always talk about, you know. And it's an important subject matter. And
right.
We have a tendency to become so afraid to talk about money, you know, and realizing that, you know, the reason why we're going to these jobs that we don't really like is because they're paying us the money, right? So it's the same thing when you're looking at being in business for yourself. Yes, ma'am. Well, Rochelle, is there anything that you would like to add? What I want to do is to open up the lines. We have a couple of callers that are waiting patiently to come on and ask or share a comment or two. But is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience before we get into the dialogue with the callers?
Just that if you are someone out there that, you know, you're just looking for a little assistance, or you want to indulge into what a little bit more about what I've just shared with regards to five steps, then I have a free gift for you, and you can get the free gift for that. So I don't know, Sandy, you want me to share that now, or you want me to just share
sure.
the link to the website? Okay, the gift is
yes.
actually, tell me, Sandy.
No, I was going to say do it now and for the end as well.
Okay. So the gift is actually called, it's the Be Audacious 5-Step System to Conquering Your Fears. And you can get it at blissfulliving4U.com. And then just go under the program Be Audacious, Conquer Your Fears, and click on the free gift, and you can get it there. And it's the five steps that I just talked about so that you can have it and, you know, have it in your repertoire and pull it out whenever you need it or learn it. And so
Thank
you can
you
just
so
walk
much.
Through the steps when you – yeah, yeah, so.
Thank you. Well, okay. Is that your only contact? Is the blissfulliving4u.com?
Oh, no. Okay, so that's my complete website.
Okay.
And I have everything is there. So I have a blog that I write.
Okay.
There's links to the books that I've written. There's links to the podcast that I have. There's links to all the free gifts that are on the site pertaining to either the area of wellness, wisdom, or wealth. There's also all my online programs that I have, as well as information about, you know, if you want to chat with me or you want more information about the summit or whatever it is, you can connect with us there on the site. But
okay.
I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter as well.
Okay. And I'm going to come back a little bit later and share the spelling of Rochelle's name. It's a little as unique as she is. So we want to make sure that, you know. No, seriously, you know, because a lot of times we don't give spelling and people think that, oh, what the correct spelling, and it's doesn't always take us where we need to be. So
right.
I want to play a quick song, and then we're going to open up the lines and come back with us, please, and share some more with Rochelle Marie Lawson and her conquering fear of being audacious. That just sounds so good. We'll be right back. Profit from that. It's called Pick Somebody Up. His name was Raul. phone. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. We have been talking about being audacious and overcoming fear with the five-step program that Rochelle has created and is offering actually as a free gift that I think is just absolutely generous of her. And so we're going to make sure that we give you all of the information again. And so you may want to grab a pencil, piece of paper and an ink pen or something to write with if you have not already done that, so that you will have the correct spelling of her name. And I have one guest here. I believe that's Miss Madeline. Madeline, is that you?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Hi, Rochelle.
Hi.
Nice meeting you.
You too.
Awesome. I have a, I love everything that you said. I'm in alignment with all that you're presenting. And fear is, from my perspective and how I look at the world, is the number one enemy of the heart. It stops people from truly living their passion. And there's a sadness around that, in the thought of people not living your passion because of fear.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I asked, one of my questions that I ask is, I ask a person, are you willing to do whatever it would take to have your dream come true? And most people won't do it, because it's too frightening to let go of
mm-hmm.
what they have.
Exactly. Or
yeah.
the unknown.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's not something that they can see beforehand, so to speak. So because it's mm-hmm. unknown, they won't do it either.
Exactly true. Exactly true. The same with health. Are you willing to do anything to be healthy? And people will still want to eat their junk food and fried food and food that they really know is not healthy for them because it's easy.
Yes, the health and wellness is my number one passion, and it's just because I've been a healthcare professional for 30 years, and I've seen how people, when they neglect their health, what can happen. And I've also had the pleasure of experiencing people who knew that they wrecked their health and would give anything in the world to get their health back. In fact, told me several times that they would give up all their wealth if they could be as healthy and well as me and look as healthy and well as me. And I thought that was a huge compliment, because at the time I'm working in the heart of Silicon Valley and dealing with, very affluent executives of all these different companies, very large successful companies, and they have all this money, but they're not healthy and well, so they really can't enjoy life like they dreamed of when they dreamed about getting that money, because their health and wellness is preventing them from stepping into that. And a lot of it can be so preventable or make it so much more manageable. But people aren't mm-hmm. willing to give up something that they're comfortable with, even though that comfort is detrimental to their health and well-being.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, it boggles
yes.
my mind when I have that same point of view with another, and they're so not willing to give up any of it to be healthy. It's gotten to a place where it's comical. It's like, really? You're going to hang on to your comfort, to try on a whole new persona of life, the possibility that you could have it all. You could have your health and your wealth. But
mm-hmm.
without your health, your wealth doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also I say, you know, in the context of, you know, when it's time for someone to do something, then the time is right, they'll do it, right? So I'm also
right.
in the belief
right.
that, you know, even though, you know, I want them to do it right now, doggone it, you know, right now might not be their time. God may have not destined that right now is their time. It's right now for me to push the button for them, to open up their mind, to tell them about it. Maybe they hear it from me in a way that they've never heard it before, that may trigger, spark, that little spark within them to make that step forward to do something. You know what I'm saying? So I take it in both. Yeah. Both contexts. And so, you know, either way, as long as I feel that I'm trying to do the best that I can to help people, then that's all I can do. And so they, you know, it's just about how receptive and if it's the right time. And if it is, things will change. And if it's not, well, you know, I just got to keep walking a little bit further down the path.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But you know, Rochelle,
and we could only,
I think
you
touched on it earlier when you were saying how the commercials, you know, will give you all of the dangers of taking the medication, you know, after they've psyched you up into thinking that, you know, you need to run out to your doctor and tell them right now that you got this disease. But, you know, and so this is good that we're having this discussion, because as we're all in this wellness and wanting to make sure that we impart the best possible information to people to live a good, true we must go beyond what's being used in media to entice people to use these bad habits, you know, like fast foods, processed foods. And, you know, so we got to keep talking until, like you say, May, how you say it is just anybody else. And so we just got to stay vigilant in knowing that our work is never.
Yes, for sure. Most definitely. It's here's the thing with regards to, so little secret I share with regards to like all that negative feedback we're getting, that fear-based information that we're getting that's been, you know, subliminally inflicted into our brains, or rather our mind, and our mind absorbs these thoughts, right? Because remember, the mind is the controller, and we can control that. It's just don't watch it. I don't watch any news. You know, I might pop on and see the sports because I'm a huge sports fan, so I'll pop on and see the sports and the weather. But other than that, I don't watch any news because it's all negative. I don't care whether it's local news or the national stuff. It's all negative. You don't hear about the people that donated their kidney to save another person's life, or you don't hear about the elderly people that go out and make sure that their neighbors are getting fed and take meals to them. You don't hear about the football player that paid for X amount of women in the city he lived in to get mammograms because they couldn't afford it. We don't hear those kind of stories. We don't hear about the young man who his mother got killed or died when he was young, and he's a professional athlete, and he bought so many women cars so that they can get around, new cars so that they can get back and forth to work. We don't hear those kind of stories in the news. What you're going to hear is so-and-so over here was caught with X amount of pounds of this type of drug, and there was a shooting over here, 3 people got killed, and, you know, this police shot this person got beat down, this store was robbed, you better go to the store and get some whatever it is before they run out. I mean, you don't hear anything negative. All, you know, Syria's doing this, the president's doing this. Everything is just constantly, constantly, constantly negative. So in order to eliminate that, don't watch it. And it's a trip. It'll be difficult, you know, watch a cooking show or, you know, go take a walk or whatever it is. But your mind will have some downtime from all that fear-based negative energy that's being fed to you subliminally through TV and other avenues of negative media, that you'll actually feel a little bit freer, a little bit clearer, a little bit lighter in your mind. And that's the perfect time to, you know, take controllers, do some, if negative thoughts pop in, change that negative thought and just keep saying, you know, today's a beautiful day, it's positive, today was a good day, or whatever it is, you know, I'm happy right now, I'm feeling joyful, I want to laugh, whatever it is that helps you to change that thought and stay away from watching that negative stuff and allowing that negative stuff feed into you. It's going to help tremendously. Simple. Simple. Don't cost you no money to do it. Simple to do it. But I guarantee you, no, not very many people will do it because it's too simple and they're not paying an arm and a leg to learn how to do that. It's simple. It has.
Feel that we have to watch the news to know what's going on. I get that all the time. I have not watched the news probably years because of how they misrepresented the activities of the community when I lived in Washington, California. You know, and I knew things were different from what they were reporting. But, and because I was a part of that, you know, bringing positive activities into South Central LA and into Watts, and I could never get one reporter from any station to come out and report on the work that we were doing with the children. There was no teen pregnancies. There was no gang involvement. There was no no drugs, and the children all were on honor roll, and, you know, all of that, but they never once covered anything that we did. And I stopped watching it, you know, because I'm like, well, just like you just said, you know, all they want is to make people fearful of their neighbor or the person that may not be dressed exactly like they think they should be dressed, you know. And so we have all of this animosity and fear and afraid of one another, you know, that's going on as we're moving. That's why we, you know, these cell phones that have come in and taken over our lives, where we no longer are social beings with one another.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's so easy because everybody's scared of each other anyway, you know.
Right. That's the purpose. You know, again, there's, as I was told by a news person, that there's no money in the positive stuff. Positive stuff don't sell. Negative stuff do, because everybody wants to hear something negative. No matter how positive they think they are, everybody wants to hear something negative. And so the constant feed of all these different negative stories touches on a little bit of everybody. And I'm like, well, what about positive stories? You know, that'll touch on a little bit of everybody, too. And but it's doesn't sell because they can't sensationalize something positive. They can, but not to the skew of, you know, sensationalizing the negative. Girl, they didn't want. And then there's also agendas as well. So, you know, it's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't want to, they were never going to do any positive news stories on Watts. Why would they? Because they want to portray that as a negative place to be due to the minority, the predominance of the color of people that live there. So there's always those agendas we have to deal with as well as a society. But that stuff keeps us in fear. Fear of, like you said, not socializing with the neighbors. I know when I grew up, everybody where I lived, the whole neighborhood, we know all the kids, the parents knew each other. You know, it was a whole different type of vibe, right? It was a whole you knew who lived in your neighborhood. You know, so you could watch out for each other. Boy, you know, you're not supposed to be get your tail in the house before your mother come home and you be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Now people come in and they pull into close the garage before they even get out the car. When you see them, they're on their cell phone, they're looking down. I mean, it's like, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yes.
But
it's
always positive. You can always stay positive. You just look at that and just observe the behavior and, you know, be like, oh, hey, you know, and just, you know, work on you. That's all we can do is work on ourselves and keep ourselves as positive as possible so that we can
lead by example. When we lead by example, it makes more of an impact than lead by our words, because our actions and how our life, like the compliment you had gotten about from a wealthy person saying this person wants to look like you and feel like you. And that's
right.
Like you said, you took it as a giant compliment, and yet this person isn't willing, and that's the key word, willing, to take a new look at how this person is walking around the planet, doing his life, and not paying attention. It's like I was telling somebody just today about if you had a Rolls Royce, you wouldn't put sand in the gas tank. You would make sure that it ran, you know, smoothly. But look
exactly
what we do to our body. I mean, when I heard a couple weeks ago on your show, Sandy, I think it was Star who said the average size for a woman's clothes is 16 to 18. I was appalled.
Yes. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's craziness.
Wow.
But you also see, like, I mean, I've watched over the years kids go from being normal sized kids to obese children at the age of 10. And here's the thing. I know we have all different sizes. We have, you know, thin people, medium people, and, you know, bigger people. I would say, more voluptuous, thicker people. We need those types of people, all three types, to survive and keep humanity thriving and sustaining. We need that. There's no doubt. But there's a point in time when you go from being just big boned to being obese. And if you're already predestined or predisposed to that, it just makes it easier. But when you see it on the children, come on. There's no reason for these children, as many children as we see today, being obese, girls. Some of these kids weigh more than me, and they're 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, I look at this, and I've seen this problem as the years of me being a nurse and just being in a healthcare professional. I've seen this grow, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness. We're killing our kids before they even get a chance to be adults. You know, diabetes is rampant. Children are now having cardiac issues at young ages. It is due to being overweight. You know, arthritic issues and things of that nature. So, we need to wake up. We really do need to wake up and take charge. And looking at the negative news that's constantly on, the negative stuff that's portraying fearful thoughts to us, it's not going to help. But,
They've told
that lie so much that we actually accept it as truth that positive news don't sell. And positive news will sell, but you got to put positive news out there. It's been a few years, and I don't even know if they still do it or not, but there was a channel in Atlanta that brought on positive news, but it was only on Sundays, you know.
Oh.
But at least they did it, you know. So I thought it would be nice if they did, you know, like 10 minutes of every show or something like that. But, you know, they did concentrate some part of it. But, you know, for me, I just don't look at it. And I think if enough of us, were to make that known that we do not look at the news, that maybe that will make a difference. So we've got another caller that just joined us. Miss Star, is that you? Hello? Unmute your phone, Star.
Okay, I sure didn't have
to make
it. I'm back. Good evening, ma'am. I'm sorry that I couldn't get back to where I needed to mute it or unmute it. Hello, everyone. I heard my name called. You know I got to throw my little stuff in the talking circle here. This has been a
Hi,
very
Star.
Wonderful
Madeline.
Hi, Madeline.
Hi,
yeah.
Star.
Hi, honey. Okay. Tell me your name again. Rochelle?
Rochelle
yes.
Marie.
Yes, and hello, Sandy.
Hello.
All right. Yes. Well, I had to jump in because I heard my name being called, so I was going to sit this one out, but, you know, hey. So I want to add, since you all are talking about the youth now, is that it has been predicted that the youth will not even live as long as their parents are living now because of all the chronic diseases that they have picked up along the way. And, you know, it's really a shame. And it's like no one is really addressing that. You know, it's like the beat just keeps going on, and it's not like someone will say or concerned parents will say, well, what's going on? Why is that? You know, it's like they hear it, they accept it, and they keep it moving. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the children don't even have anyone that's going to, you know, fight for them or rally for them or figure it out when really it's the parents that's the cause of the children not being being able to live as long as they are living from the food
yes.
that they are giving the children. And actually that is called child abuse.
Hmm.
I agree. You know, when you look at, you go, if you ask five parents or five, like, what do you cook dinner for your kids? Four of them are going to tell you no. They take them to McDonald's, Jack in the Box, wherever, right?
Right.
People do not cook for their children. They,
mm-hmm.
these kids are growing up on fast food. Which in
yep.
turn, that's not healthy food for you. It's fast for a reason. It's not healthy.
Right.
So they're ingesting all these calories. You know, I see these little kids getting, you know, a happy meal back in the day was a cheeseburger, french fries, a little small, you know, something that a kid probably couldn't eat, usually didn't eat all of it, or some of them did. Nowadays, they get these little double cheeseburger, large fries, extra
right.
large drink, and I'm like, you know, that's 2,000 calories. You don't need
yeah.
to, you're going to eat that, you know, on a continual basis. So what I'm saying is there's too much fast food being served to the children, and fast food is not the healthiest choice. Also, children do not go outside and play and exercise. When I was growing up, when my children were growing up, they knew what, when you heard the term, when the street lights come on, what do you
That's
do?
Right.
You start hightailing your tail back home, right?
I mean,
trying to get that house, right? Right? You know,
yeah.
these kids
mm-hmm.
today, if they, you say, even my daughter was like, Mom, I think we're the last generation of kids that know what it means when the street lights come on. She goes, I have some kids younger than me, and they were like, what are you talking about? Kids don't play outside. They don't play outside.
Yeah.
So the lack of exercise, poor food, and the fact that the parents do not want to take the time to sit around and educate their kids on healthy habits, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We're having children
mm-hmm.
that are going to not – we're going backwards with how, regards to aging.
Exactly, exactly.
Forward. And we're doing
well,
it to this up and coming generation.
Well, first of all, you can't give what you don't have. You know, the
True.
Parents can't give out healthy information if they themselves don't have it. That's why they are allowing their children to eat this garbage, because they know absolutely nothing about food and what real food is. And then the other point that you made is that the children are not going playing outside. We have to really look at it with a microscope, a magnifying glass, to see that part of that was with all of those drive-bys that were done and the children were outside playing, innocent children, and being gunned down by these crazy kids. So, you know, we forget that that era happened, which the children were then a lot safer inside playing with the Xbox and all that other kind of stuff. So,
right.
I think
and
that
also,
really
you know, the fear of people taking, getting their kids taken too. You know, that popped into play when more children were becoming abducted as well. So
yes,
I get that.
Absolutely.
If you're fearful of that, go sit outside and watch your kids play then.
Yeah.
Right, right, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Right.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we have to really look at how our society in the African-American community has changed and really think, well, where did those changes come from and how did they come about? You know, because I know, hey, kids used to play outside all the time. But, you know, with these Crips and Bloods and whoever knows whatever gangs that are out there in whatever particular cities, you know, it just wasn't safe for people to be roaming around outside. So,
but even in the more affluent neighborhoods, the kids don't play outside, and they weren't playing outside either.
Okay.
I was going to say, so you know, is that something that we're just
all,
saying?
It's all uh-huh. over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really need to. Go ahead,
Star. Go ahead, Sandy. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, like we really, is that a part of the whole plan? It almost seems like there's somebody, you know, or something that is just using us as little guinea pigs in a laboratory. You know, well, can we change the whole human, you know, around to being this antisocial, living off of garbage, you know, entity that waddles around. That's almost what it feels like, because you know, you don't see children interacting with one another and having discussions, you know, multi levels or multi generations. And you're absolutely right. Hardly anybody prepares a meal anymore, and as more and more Big Mama and them are passing over to the other side, there are fewer
right.
and fewer people that know how to prepare a decent meal.
Right.
It's crazy to me. It's just absolutely crazy.
It is. It is. It's amazing. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me, because I grew up, you know, like you said, Big Mama and them, right? You always
yeah.
had a good meal, always. So when I had my children, I cooked them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, it was,
yes,
I mean, they had a home-cooked meal, you know, and they friends
yeah.
would be coming over like, oh, let you know. I'm like, here's a plate, honey, you know, whatever, because they weren't getting that, right? And so
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
me, and I worked, and, you know, I had a business and all, so to me, it I know everybody's not like me, but I'm saying there's no reason why you can't cook dinner every night or make sure your children get a good breakfast before they go off to school, one of the most important meals of the day for a child, right? Or, you know, make sure they have appropriate things to eat for lunch instead of a bunch of potato chips, you know, or snacks or things of that nature. That's stuff that you can control, and cut out the fast food. And like I said, if you worry about your children getting abducted or, you know, the younger or whatever, go sit outside with them. You don't have to be out there all day.
Exactly.
But take them out for an hour or so, you know, or in the backyard if you have that privilege. But, you know, it's all good for the brain stimulation and the growth of the brain and the body cells. So, and also, you know, help to keep their metabolism going and keep the weight down. That goes for everybody, right? When you
yes.
want to lose weight, one of the first people seeing, they start heading up to the gym. You know, that goes
right.
for, and starting
right.
changing your diet, right? So it's something we can do. I think it's just we as a society have gotten away from it with all the technology we have, all the modern, you know, get this instantly kind of gratification stuff. And so, you know, why cook when I can go to McDonald's and get the three meals or whatever I need to get in 10 minutes instead of trying to cook a meal that's going to take me 35, 40, maybe an hour to cook. You know?
And, you know, people always want to say that they can't afford to eat healthy, but I don't think they have stopped to add up what they're paying at these places that they're driving up to. That has to be more expensive. If you take in two children to McDonald's for breakfast in the morning, what's that, $10-$15? And then they got to
mm-hmm.
have lunch, and then you got dinner. You know, so you're spending maybe like $50 or more per day for one parent and for three people. Let's just say three people.
Yep.
You know, $50 to $60, that is a lot of money. Where, you know,
yeah, no
over a 7-day period of time, that is more than you're going to pay for groceries at a store, and nobody wants to talk about it like that, you know. It's like, oh,
she said with no leftovers. I'm like,
yeah,
right?
No leftovers.
Come on. That's what it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there's so much joy
in preparing a meal. There's so much joy for me when I prepare a meal and touch the food. And, you know, I did the same thing. I grew up with a family who sat at the table for dinner, and I passed that on. So when I had my children, we sat around the table and had meals and made them breakfast and sent them off with a brown bag for lunch. And, yeah, it's all about the connection, and we connect around food.
Mm-hmm.
And when the food is good and it looks good and it tastes good, that's what the child wants.
There's no satisfaction
in leaving a McDonald's. That's why they want more, because there's no live food in any of these fast food places. No live food at all. Yikes. Yeah, and the best
thing
to do is just unplug your TV. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And unplug if people would unplug their TVs. I haven't had a TV in over 10 years. It's just doesn't exist. And when I would stay at my sister's and my brother-in-law's house, they say, "Well, what do? Come watch TV with us." No, thank you. "Well, what do?" And it's like, "Well, I read and I write. You know, I meditate. It's lovely."
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we're down to our last couple of minutes, and I'm going to just briefly go over the contact information for Rochelle, and I'm going to have to close off these other two phones because there's a lot of background noise that's interfering there. But I appreciate Madeline and Star for adding your voice to our conversation tonight. So Rochelle's name is spelled R-O-C-H-E-L, Rochelle Marie Lawson, L-A-W-S-O-N. And her website is Blissful, B-L-I-S-S-F-U-L, Living, the number 4, the letter U, .com, blissfullivingforyou.com. And she says on her website is where you can get contact information. You can read her blog, and she's got her book links and podcasts and online programs. And she is also on Facebook and LinkedIn. And on her website is the free link to the gift for the 5-step system to conquering fears, the Be Audacious program that she's been telling us about. So, Rochelle, if you would close us out, we've got about 1 minute left, and I certainly appreciate you taking time again out of your schedule to be with us.
Thank you so much, Sandy, for having me, and thanks to everyone, the ladies that chimed in and joined us with the conversation tonight. It's been a pleasure. I just want to say that if you're listening to this, please share the show. Sandy, I know would greatly appreciate it. But also remember that we all travel down our own path to bliss, and my journey may be completely different from your journey, and my challenges may be completely different from your challenges. But whatever it is, never, ever, ever step in to being fearful. Step out and be fearless. Mm. And once you step out and be bold and audacious and take that first step forward through that challenge, whatever it is that might be fearful to you and holding you back, you will feel power, joy, and you will feel the feeling of being in control of your life and your destiny so that you can live the life of your dreams. So that's what I would like to share, Sandy, as my closing statement. Be bold, audacious, and step into conquering your fear so you can be unstoppable with fearlessness.
You guys check her out on her website, Blissful Living www.rochelleforyou.com. And thank you once again, Rochelle Marie Lawson. We appreciate you sharing so freely with us tonight. And we'll see you guys next week, same time.
Bye.
Have a great day.